This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Friday, welcome in. It is Money Moves here on VSiN. No Storm Bonatoni. Last day for her on vacation. She'll be back on Monday. Our show will be whole once again, and we'll be able to get ready in full swing for the football season. But preseason is very much underway. Obviously, we had three games yesterday. We got to recap some of that. We have to get to quite a bit with our great guests that are going to join us as part of our show on a Friday afternoon. That's not an afternoon yet. It's actually morning. I'm a little off. So let's just get started here so I can gather myself.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is The Rundown.
All right, as mentioned, Saturday, full preseason slate. Very much looking forward to that. We have all the news and notes about who's going to play and who's not. We'll also have a little bit of a conversation about what that information actually means and a look back at yesterday and what we can learn. Because sometimes the information means something. Sometimes it means absolutely nothing, which leads us to part two of our rundown. A very big win for Brian Ortega and the rest of the CLV Haters Club. How about that yesterday? Line moves, all DOA, dead on arrival, as we got some, I would say, fugazi information, which we can talk about, some overreaction to some of the line moves, and there's a, I think, strong conversation to be had about what information really does mean in an NFL preseason setting. And last, and certainly not least, which is where we begin, as I believe it is the Tyson saying, everybody has a plan until they get hit in the mouth. Anthony Richardson and the Indianapolis Colts. I don't think that there is really a preseason setting in which you can say this was an abject disaster, but that was pretty close to it for the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. As the Colts go out, one of the three teams that we're discussing on the wrong end of a result, despite the line move in their favor, 24-16, the Baltimore Ravens get the outright victory over Indianapolis. Harbaugh, by the way, we talked about this yesterday, snaps his 0-6 ATS slide that he had been on in the preseason, had not covered a game since 2022, improves on his wonderful record. But the Colts yesterday, I got to tell you, there is, I think, a lot of interesting storylines coming out of that game. Tyler Warren looked absolutely brilliant for the Indianapolis Colts, a first-round pick at tight end. I think you should be a little worried about them defensively because they did play their starters on defense for the most part, and they were getting carved up by this Ravens running attack. But yesterday, one of the big issues in the short stint for Anthony Richardson that we saw yesterday was pressure. He had four total dropbacks in the game, Anthony Richardson, and he was pressured on three of those dropbacks, according to Pro Football Focus data from yesterday. Now, one of those was his fault. The hit that took him out of the game that ultimately dislocated his finger. That is a hot read that you have to understand what the protection is. You're only going with five in front of you. You've got to be able to check out to your running back. By all accounts, that was on Richardson. Shane Steichen even corroborated that after the game. But this was one where I didn't understand what Steichen's reasoning was when you talk about the offensive line not playing starters. So let's hear from Shane Steichen, because it does open up something here for the Indianapolis Colts as we move into the game two of the preseason, because Daniel Jones is expected to start for the second game, as he told us a couple of days ago. But are you going to play your starting offensive line? How does this result change how you're going to look forward here with Steichen after the game?
Yeah, I think with that thing, we had, I mean, a majority of the offensive line, not obviously Quentin and Braden and Bernie, but we had a couple guys in there that'll be playing. Felt good about AD out there. Tyler Warren was out there. So we had some guys out there.
Can you speak at all to what's supposed to happen there? You don't want to unblock guy. If you do have it, I mean, is that supposed to be hot or I don't know?
Yeah, it's a five-man protection right there, and that's the hot side right there, and that's what happened.
For next week, when Daniel's out there with the starters, is the plan for majority of the starters to be back out there, like the guys who weren't tonight?
Yeah, I'll evaluate that this week coming up. Obviously, with the joint practice against Baltimore, obviously held the majority of those guys out. We got another joint practice versus Green Bay coming up, and that's kind of where the bulk of those guys get the work. So we'll evaluate all that this week.
Yeah, I think you really have to think about playing your starting offensive line. It just doesn't really make sense. We had discussed this about playing your starters throughout the week leading up to this. Generally, if you have a quarterback competition or you're trying to evaluate a guy, if he can play amongst the starters, you play the starters. At one point in that media availability, Steichen throws out there, it's like, oh, you know, we played some of the wide receivers. Like, well, yes, but the offensive line is what's really going to make a difference. And sure enough, we saw it make a difference for the most part. Again, Richardson on three of his four dropbacks was considered pressured. One of those was his fault. The other other two were not. Showed some decent pocket navigation. We'll see. It's a very incomplete picture for Richardson. And for Daniel Jones on the game, 10 of 21. Four drops were accounted for the Indianapolis Colts. So adjusted completion percentage around 66.7%. I thought Jones was fine. I think that when you look at what the dynamic now is at the quarterback position, Richardson, who had become about a $3 favorite to win the job to be the quarterback to take the first snap week one, you wonder what that dynamic's going to be like from the betting market standpoint. Also, too, the injury to his finger. It seems like it is not going to be something that holds him back. He was throwing on the sideline, asked to get back into the game, and by all accounts will return to practice, according to reports from Jordan Schultz and others, in the next couple of days. So it doesn't seem like this is going to be something in which he misses some time. And in fact, he wanted to play. But this obviously has a very big impact on who's going to start week one and how Steichen operates moving forward in how he is going to play his starters as we look ahead. By the way, declaration on money moves already dead. I officially declared that the Colts were going to go undefeated in the preseason. They lost the first game 24-16. But also yesterday, one of the big stories, of course, the Cincinnati Bengals don't want to get off to a slow start. Well, they were in midseason form, at least defensively. Philadelphia just beating the crap out of this Bengals defense. 432 total yards, 5.9 yards per play, ran the ball effectively, just really did anything they wanted, especially in the early goings of this game. But Cincinnati, this was the big question, right? Your offense should be great. You have Joe Burrow. You've got Ja'Marr Chase that paid dividends for you in the first quarter because you were up by 7, 14-7 at the end. Either way, though, your defense looked abysmal. It's the reason why you lost it. Here was Zach Taylor after the game talking about the defensive effort.
Well, obviously, defense, we're trying not to show a lot of what's going on. So we're trying to keep it as little as possible and let guys win some one-on-ones. And today there was a lot of 50-50 plays that I thought Philly made, especially early in the game, that gave them some extended drives there. But overall, just as a team, this was a team effort in the loss. 34-27, whatever it was, seven-point game. Okay, we gave up 7 points on field goals. We lined up offside on a field goal. They missed it. They got 3 points. We hit the center on a field goal. That turned into a touchdown, so that ended up being a four-point drive. So that's 7 points right there. Penalty on a long kickoff return that we had, gave up a long punt return, threw an interception, gave them the ball in scoring position. And so those are all things that, as a team, we can't tolerate, we can't have. We got to play better team football than that. And I expect our guys – I like the fight. These guys come back. They give us a chance at the end. That I appreciate. But there's a lot of things that we got to fix and correct as a team. That's not one unit. That's not one person. That's not one position. It's a whole team effort that we got to fix in order to win our next game.
It's all well and good, but when your problem heading into a season is one specific unit and that specific unit shows its warts very early on in a preseason contest, that is something that should be talked about and I think warrants some worry for the Cincinnati Bengals. Again, a team that offensively has the upside of being a Super Bowl contender, but defensively was among the worst in the National Football League a season ago. We will see once everybody's fully healthy and on board, and as you get a little bit more, and as you get more exotic, as Taylor put out there, very vanilla schemes for the most part for the preseason. But the Bengals, one of the three favorites yesterday that do not cover, they did not all lose outright. The Las Vegas Raiders ended up in a tie with the Seattle Seahawks. Would have been nice to work that middle, right? As we discussed, talking about the Raiders-Seahawks game, Raiders money line plus 125. Yesterday we discussed here on the show coming back with Seahawks plus 5.5. Shout out to Adam Hill, who I think nailed it when you're talking about the way Carroll talked about this game. And it leads us, I think, into an interesting conversation. Carroll tells the media the other day that everybody's alive. The media, the betting market, takes that and runs with it. Carroll's going to play his starters. Market gets up to 5.5, which is where it closed in favor of the Las Vegas Raiders. Geno Smith went out there, played a drive, went 1-of-3, got off the field, and then we didn't see him again. Aiden O'Connell played a vast majority of the game. He was terrible when you look at the way that he played that contest, putting the ball in danger multiple times. If you looked at it, two turnover worthy plays, both of them, of course, picked off. 6.8 yards per attempt, 208 yards. In fact, it was Cam Miller who came in late and gave him a chance to potentially win this game. But it speaks to, look, there is, as we joke around, CLV and the conversation around it is, I think, mind-numbing at times. Look, having the best of the number gives you the best possibility of winning a game. Those are out there, and especially last night, would say that CLV is meaningless and would point to yesterday as case A, or point of evidence A of why it doesn't matter. But I will say that what's going to be interesting as we move forward in this preseason is the effect that information has on these lines and whether or not it is deserved to move to this degree when we don't have anything as concrete. Look, the Bengals, there was concrete information that they were going to play their starters for a good chunk of the time. The Colts, there was concrete information they were going to play their starters or at least their two quarterbacks for a majority of the first half, if not the entire first half. But for teams like the Raiders, where there wasn't really anything concrete, and we have different examples of that. We'll talk about that as we get into the preseason because we have full slates on Saturday and another three today. But what is truly the value of that information that you're getting in some of these preseason contests? We can invoke one game that's going to be today, for example, as the Detroit Lions are taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons right now catching 3.5 with a total of 33 or 32.5. We brought this up as one of those things where I was like, hey, I'm sitting on Twitter. Information comes down. Let's bet this and see what happens. Laid 1.5. It's up to 3.5 on the news that Easton Stick was going to start the game for the Falcons. Didn't we expect this? What did we know about Atlanta? Did you really think that we're going to see extended looks at Michael Penix or Kirk Cousins, that their guy that's going to start for a vast majority of the regular season, and then the $100 million man who is worth a lot that you need as your backup? Probably not. And yet the market deemed that information as worthy enough to move 2 points in favor of the Detroit Lions. And on the flip side, we know that Hendon Hooker's going to play. Hendon Hooker wasn't particularly great in the Hall of Fame game. Kyle Allen was awful in the Hall of Fame game. And we have kind of seen a little bit of those two. So is this information really worth it? And is there a case to be made? Again, we're only talking about one day, but is there a case to be made now that the market tends to overreact a little bit here with some of this preseason information? And there is some value coming back on some of these really big point spreads that you see. Case in point, and we'll talk more about this a little bit later in the show, but Saturday, the Denver Broncos are playing the San Francisco 49ers. The Broncos are up to a 7-point favorite across the board with a total of 35. Has Sean Payton come out and said that he's going to play Bo Nix the entire game and that they want to win this thing and win it by margin? That really hasn't been the case. So you do wonder if there is some value in pushing back on some of these really big swings we have seen in the market. We'll get to those in the second hour. When we come back, let's take a look at tonight's preseason contests in full, what we know, what it means to the information in the line, and a look at Major League Baseball. The slate is full. Can't wait to see what's going to happen this weekend in a lot of big series.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Let's build on what we were just talking about with some of this line move and information for the preseason, because it does tie into today. And it ties into the first game on the rotation for today. Also the second, we'll get to that momentarily. But the Carolina Panthers are playing host to the Cleveland Browns today. All right. And we have a very big line move in favor of Carolina. They open up as 2-point favorites. We're up to 6.5 in a couple of spots. 6 is the predominant number across the board with a total of 33. If you're just joining us, we discussed very briefly about the value of information, the fact that if you were on the right side of all of those line moves for the first three preseason games yesterday, you took it in the jaw, right? Like everything was incorrect there. Underdogs, by the way, 4-0 ATS so far in this preseason. I'm sure that will hold. Overs, 4-0 so far in this preseason. We will see if that is a trend that is going to build as the preseason continues this year. But for the Carolina Panthers, so I was doing a little bit more digging earlier this week. It was actually on Sunday when I was filling in for Tim Murray, played a clip from Dave Canales of the previous Wednesday. And Canales had said, hey, you know, this is why we're playing our starters. We want our guys to have like go through the motions of getting ready. We didn't do it last year, blah, blah, blah. And so we know that the starters are going to play this week. Well, I was digging a little bit more. And what I find very interesting is Canales is also quoted as saying he wants to play his guys for the grand total of 8 to 12 snaps in this game. And yet, here we are. The Carolina Panthers are up to a 6.5-point favorite with that total of 33 or 32.5. That's a really strong line move for a team that's probably going to play their starters for 8 to 12 snaps. Really not do that much. It's probably about two drives, maybe one really long drive. And that's about it. And on the other side, I understand, like from the Cleveland standpoint, and this is another one of those, hey, I got in early, we'll see what happens. Look, the quarterback position is not great. We know Shador is going to start. We know that Snoop Huntley is going to play the second half. The quarterback position is not really in great hands. And we know that Shador has not gotten a really a lot of snaps, a lot of the shares when it comes to with the starters and the offense and all those sort of things. But he's been practicing. He should be comfortable. He should be fine. But kind of speaking on what we have seen in this early portion of this preseason, you do have to wonder if, much like we talked about yesterday with the Raiders and Seahawks game, if it's worth it to just kind of get back here and grab a little of Cleveland plus six and a half, because the information seems a little bit vague and too strong in its impact on the Carolina side. So we'll have more on that in best bets, but I think it's going to be the same tact here. I've got Carolina at the really cheap money line price, but I think it's worth coming back and taking a piece of Cleveland with this strong line move, given what we just saw yesterday and the fact that we're not really going to get the starters for an extended amount of time by some accounts for the Carolina Panthers. Detroit and Atlanta, we discussed this. Detroit up to a 3.5-point favorite, total 33.5. For those who want a little bit more on what we saw last week, if you weren't with us or if you didn't see it, the Hall of Fame game, you saw it, but in terms of the information, Kyle Allen in that game, 9 of 14, 64% completion, 6.5 yards per attempt. The turnover of the play was there as well, through two interceptions in the game, and then Hendon Hooker came in, PFF gave him a 36.1 PFF passing grade. Just wasn't great quarterback play. We know that this is generally going to be the rotation for the Detroit Lions, and on the flip side, it's going to be Easton Stick, who Easton Stick's a longtime pro. He's played quite a bit. This is one where I don't feel as confident in, because, again, first off, you know, laid 1.5 on the news. It's up to 3.5. It's nothing particularly strong. Hendon Hooker and Kyle Allen together did not play particularly well. I don't think that this is one where there's this strong information-based event. When it's a battle of two backups, or trio of backups, if you will, going at it here, would not say no to coming back on Atlanta at all, catching 3.5. We'll see if that actually means something, but we'll be curious to see if they, the Detroit Lions, open up the playbook a little bit more, ask them to play a little bit more, and maybe game plan just to give him a little sense of confidence. But 3 of 6 on 11 dropbacks in the Hall of Fame game for him, not particularly great for the Detroit Lions. And then the last but not least, and this goes back to what we've discussed with these line moves and the extremes, Patriots up to a 6.5-point favorite, total 34.5. By all accounts, Vrabel's going to play the guys. The question just becomes how long? What does it mean when you want to get guys out there and have competition and have them get some games under their belt? That to me is, again, is it a little too strong? Some of the quotes from Vrabel, quote, "I would say most everybody that's healthy should expect to play in the game. How long they'll play, I don't know. But we have to prepare to play in football games and prepare to win football games. So that's the mentality that we're going to take." That was said by Vrabel on Wednesday, and that was enough to push this up to a near touchdown spread in favor of the New England Patriots. That can mean anything. It can mean absolutely anything when you're talking about the impact this information has on the betting line. Sam Hartman, Josh Johnson are expected to take a majority of the snaps at quarterback today for Washington. That's according to multiple reports. So maybe a half for each. We'll see if that is going to be the case. But either way, some starters are going to play for New England. Very vague on how much time they're going to be out there, and we'll see what that is. But I feel like that's kind of the theme, and maybe I'm a little gun-shy after watching what happened yesterday. But the thought of coming back and pushing back on some of these line moves, especially, like, for example, and I thought Samich tweeted this out yesterday, and he nailed it. If you bet the Bengals first quarter yesterday, and some spots hung up like minus a half point, I mean, you were in. You were gravy. You knew that 100% of those snaps were going to belong, or not 100%, but for the offense, Joe Burrow was going to be out there. They were going to open the game, and that you maybe had an advantage there, and sure enough, they led 14-7. But the impact of information that starters are going to play in a game that has four quarters at the beginning of it, and the fact that this line is 6 for the game, you can understand why, after what happened yesterday, looking at some of the information, you're a little gun-shy after that. So we'll see. But again, it looks like most everybody that's healthy should expect to play in the game. That's according to Vrabel. We'll see exactly what that impact is. Patriots up from a 2-point favorite to 6.5. We'll get back to preseason football coming up a little bit later. We'll have a full look at what's going to happen on Saturday before we talk to Mike Palm, who's going to join us at 10:15 a.m. Pacific time. So let's switch gears. Major League Baseball, we have some great series that are going to get started this weekend. Very much looking forward to quite a few of them. So wanted to start in the National League, kind of work our way around. We'll get to all of these as we move along here on Money Moves. Let's start with Cincinnati on the road against Pittsburgh. Reds obviously trying to find their way back into this wild card race, floating around 3.5 games out of the NL wild card. Game matters for them. It also matters because this is a pitching matchup that I cannot wait to see. For those who maybe don't remember, I've talked about this a couple of times here on the network. It's been mentioned. Chase Burns is going to get the start for the Cincinnati Reds. Burns is an interesting cat. He's got seven starts to his name. The profile overall is actually really solid for Burns. When you look at the ability to generate swings and misses, the strikeout numbers are there for him as well. Excuse me. But hasn't really come together. 19 earned runs over 28 and a third innings pitched. He has been unlucky on balls in play, 3.94 batting average on balls in play against him. But the strikeout numbers have been there, and he has balanced out the strikeouts with the walks. We talk about there are the walks with the strikeouts. Mention this all the time. If you have a high walk rate, you can balance that out with generating swings and misses. He has been able to do that here with his time out there, 47 strikeouts in seven starts. So you can expect that maybe he's going to be able to get this done against Pittsburgh. The question is there going to be some regression at some point, and is he going to be able to get this done? Market at the open was floating around $1.20. We're still heading in that area. You see this right now. This is over at, I believe this is what, Circa? DraftKings, excuse me. Floating about $1.21. Circa here is about 119 in favor of Burns. I don't want to give up on him. I think that there's something there. I understand that on the surface, you look at that ERA over six and think that this kid's cooked, but the fielding independence at 290, the swing and miss numbers are there. Against this lineup, I think he's probably going to have a higher ceiling and I think that you're just banking on some of those balls in play to not reach. So I think the Reds are pretty live here. I also think that's why we haven't seen like a real push against him at this point right now. Keller's pitched very well. If you look at some of the numbers for Keller, 389 ERA, 370 FIP, but took a shot with the Reds against the Cubs in their series finale a couple of days ago. I've believed in Burns, hasn't worked out, but I'm going to go one more time to the well with Chase Burns and the Cincinnati Reds. Next up, let's go Mets and Brewers really quickly, as the Mets just cannot string wins together at all. They are really, really scuffling at this point right now, and the Brewers are going to come in here $1.44 favorite. Brandon Woodruff is going to get the start against Kodai Senga. Woodruff, man, I mean, we know this pitch to contact profile. It's always, for me, caused a little bit of noise. He's been unreal. 2.22 ERA, 3.32 fielding independent. Against some lineups that don't have a lot of pop, he's able to get it done. And the Mets, I think, fall into that category. When you look at that since mid-June, this has been one of the worst lineups in Major League Baseball. They have struggled to consistently hit. I think Woodruff and the Brew crew are obviously going to be pretty live here. We saw this open up at about $1.28. So the ship has sailed, at least on the best price here for the Brewers. So let's see if we can get some buyback here. Wouldn't say no to maybe looking at the under. Some spots open 8 under minus 120. Vast majority of the market right now is at 7.5. First three under, I think, would be in play as well. Senga is a guy that's, again, he's been in really good form since starting. 17 starts, 2.31 ERA. If you look at his recent form right now, coming off of, we'll call it three substandard starts by Senga's profile, 4 earned runs in his last outing. In totality, 11 earned runs over his last three starts. The walks have been up there for Senga. In fact, 2 starts ago, he walked 5 guys. So this also buys into what we're looking at for the Brewers. Not only has Woodruff been absolutely great, they're the better team, they're in the better offensive form, but Senga also comes into this greater profile, says he's been very good. But recent stretch of play, we've seen a little bit of a crack in the armor for Senga, and I totally understand why now we've seen this 20-cent line move in favor of the Milwaukee Brewers. By the way, if you got nothing going on, man, if you're sitting around reading, getting ready for the weekend, go to VSiN.com. Check it out. Matt Eumanns has his final, his swan song, fast food rankings. Greg Peterson has his MLB best bets. Our college football guide is out there. And, of course, coming up later today, Britton Hess does a great job with UFC picks, Saturday Saratoga picks, and more. Go to VSiN.com. Sign up for as little as
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN and Winner Circle Proxy giving away 2 grand packages for the Circa Million 7 contest. Each includes a fully paid entry, full season proxy service from the team at Winner Circle Proxy, and an exclusive behind the scenes tour of our VSiN studios in Las Vegas. It's free to enter. Just go to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN and fill out the short form before August 17th. Don't miss your shot to play for $6 million in guaranteed prizes this season. Go to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. All right, we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. Welcome in one Will Hill, contributor here at the network, host of VSiN Primetime. You also see him over the weekends as well as part of Live Bet Saturday and Live Bet Sunday coverage. Will, we appreciate it. You are a father, a man of many hats, and you just had to, and I call my children this, so don't take offense to it, fend off the gremlins with a little bit of food before we got on. What just happened to you?
It's funny. I thought this was appropriate. And, of course, thanks for having me. I thought it was appropriate considering Matt Eumanns gives his final fast food rankings. A bittersweet moment yesterday in VEASAN history. Hard to believe it's been 5 years, I remember, since the first one, at least I can remember back in 2020. But, yeah, brought the kids there, got some McDonald's, some Happy Meals. Sometimes you just get tired of preparing stuff, cooking, all that. So, you know what? Friday, end of the summer almost here. Let's get them some Happy Meals. You would have thought when I asked for extra barbecue sauce, you would have thought I asked for like a five-figure loan, a lung, a kidney. They look at you like you're asking for the biggest favor in the world. She looks at me and goes, there's four in there. And I say, okay, can I have a little extra? And then she begrudgingly gives me two more, like she was doing me the biggest favor ever. They make billions of dollars. Just fork over the barbecue sauce. They must be trained, their coach, to just be very tight, very frugal with the extra condiments. Ketchup and barbecue sauce. My goodness. Let's lighten up a little bit, McDonald's.
All right. Take a hit on the power rating for Matt Eumanns, hopefully. I mean, he doesn't seem like a big chicken nugget guy, so it's probably not something he has to deal with on a regular basis. But as you said, it is apt. By the way, you go to VEASAN.com and check out Matt Eumanns' final fast food rankings, a great article that is up there. I will submit to this conversation before we move on to baseball. The same thing happens for the taco joints with the hot sauce. You get minuscule packets that have like an ounce of sauce in them. And then you like, dude, I ordered, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, ordered half the menu. Like I need more than just five packets of hot sauce, bro. But that is neither here nor there. We don't need to continue down that route. All right. Major League Baseball. Let's start with, I wanted to ask your opinion before we get to some of your plays. I had talked about Chase Burns and the Reds earlier. I think Burns is pretty live. Market hasn't really moved here. But did you have an opinion on this Reds Pirates matchup and just Burns in general? You have a good eye for some of these guys. He's got some good stuff, but the just results have not been there for him.
They have not. I bet him 100-1 rookie of the year the night he got called up. I saw the tweet from Passan. It was a late Saturday night, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks ago. And a couple days later, he's 3-1. And of course, throw that in the bin of CLV. I keep waiting for him. Mizorowski's hurt. I know Baldwin hit a couple homers last night, but I felt like Baldwin's a faulty favorite. I keep waiting for Burns to make a run here. And I thought Saturday night last week against the Braves in Tennessee, he could maybe have, it was the only game on, he could maybe have that showcase breakout moment where, you know, he strikes out 12 guys in front of everybody. He throws seven shutout innings with two hits, something like that. The problem was he hit two strikeouts in the first inning, a 1-2-3 first, and then the rain came and he basically had his start wiped away from the rain. So like you said, he's been a little unlucky. There was rumors, there was whispers that night in Fenway where he got bombed. First off, they blew a double play, but he got bombed off the mound that he was tipping his pitches. And he just had a bad inning here or there. You can't be that dominant with the strikeouts without being really good. So he's going to be really good. He's got to get the command cleaned up a little bit. As far as tonight, I'd probably just play, I believe it's 4.5 still, his hits allowed prop under, just because, first off, he's very hard to hit. He's got the swing and miss stuff. He can struggle with command. All of that stuff will ramp up your pitch count pretty quickly. When you're striking out people, those are deep counts. When you're walking people, those are deep counts. And again, he's just very hard to hit. So it's still 4.5. I would look towards under hits. I lean first five under. I wish I was getting the 4.5. You can go to DraftKings in some of these books and lay a little extra juice if you want to win on the half run, which I like to do in the 150 or so range to win on the 4.5. I don't think that's bad. I think we could see a good pitching matchup here. Pirates just in general struggle to hit. Do swing a little better at home. Do hit a little better at home. Reds have really been struggling offensively recently. So to me, I could see this one being 2-1, 2-2 after five. So it would be a lean towards the first five under and under for hits in terms of Burns. It's allowed. Yep.
4.5 still out there, under minus 130 for the hits. I was thinking also first three, the total there, 1.5 under plus 130 for these guys too. So we'll see if that could come to fruition for this matchup. All right, take us where you want to go. It's a full slate. What's one of the sides that piques your interest?
Astros, I think, are the right side. I'll fade this Yankee team. Astros, a little bit more of an Astros-ish lineup here. I know I said that Sunday against the Red Sox when I was on with you, and they had just a disaster of an inning, like the third or fourth inning with Valdez on the mound. But Hunter Brown is just much better than Cam Schlittler. I can understand playing the full game because for all of the new additions, this Yankee bullpen has been a disaster with Devin Williams and all these new acquisitions. It really hasn't yielded results. But I'll go Astros. I'll call it two bets. I'll just kind of split personally half unit probably on the full game and the first five so I don't get burned either way and you don't have the FOMO of, oh, I should have played the first five or vice versa. But to me, Astros are the right side. Brown is much better than Schlittler, who's got good stuff. He's been impressive, but this is still Brown who's going to be, you know, top three or four Cy Young guy versus Schlittler, who's just breaking into the majors here. And I think the lineups, about a wash. We'll see what Judge can do here as he's coming off the injury. So Astros first five and on the full game, call those a half unit on each. And I think the Philly line is a little cheap. I like the Phillies with Sanchez. He's been awesome. He's going to be right there for Cy Young. Incredible. This guy couldn't make the All-Star team with his numbers. He's just hard to square up. The command, the control, everything is outstanding. Texas, you keep waiting for them to get going. They still just struggle to score runs consistently. They struggle against left-handed pitching. Kelly's good, but Sanchez is better. The Philly bats have started to get going here. So I think Philly is the right side here. See if I'm missing anything. I hate laying a run and a half, especially when you have to lay juice and especially when you're the home team. But to me, Skubal here, 137 against Kyle Hendricks. That's a lot of lefties in that Tiger lineup. Hendricks is, you know very well, throwing 86, 87 miles an hour. To me, this has like, 8-1, 8-2 written all of it. I'm okay laying the run and a half there. And I think that's about it. I don't know that Zach Gallen should be minus 250 over anyone. I don't really want to sit here and spend my Friday night sweating out the Rockies, though. So,
dude,
those are some general thoughts. I think I covered everything I like here in terms of the baseball. Oh, one more. Give me the Mets plus a half a run in the first five. You lay $1.15 or so. It's Senga against Woodruff. But when the totals, I talk about this a lot, when the totals are so low, getting that half a run in the first five is so valuable. It's so likely possible that it's 1-1 after five, 2-2 after five. Obviously, you're leading. You get the win. I just love the idea that the game starts and you're already winning. I got a good pitcher on the mound with Senga. He struggled with the command. He needs to throw more strikes. But I like the fact that the Brewers haven't seen him, in a while. And I just think that this Mets lineup, there's too many good hitters. They got to get going at some point. So maybe this is a good time to buy low on this Mets offense, as the Mets struggles have really taken away from the Yankees struggles. Everyone talks about how bad the Yankees have been, and they have been. The Mets are flying under the radar with how bad they've been recently. So I know I threw a lot at you, but those are the games I'm looking at.
I will say, going back to something you mentioned, and I'll tie in the Yankees and the Diamondbacks together, and just kind of tracking the market on a daily basis, I am surprised the way the market continues to support price your Bronx Bombers right again today. This is now down to a near pick. And you mentioned actually one of the plays that was on my list as well. I don't know what the betting market sees in Zach Gallen. On like a start-to-start basis, he's getting priced too high for the way that he starts. And I'm with you. Like, do I want to spend my Friday afternoon watching the Rockies and the D-backs? Probably not. But it is hard to look at the way the betting market prices Gallen almost every single start and realize, like, guys, he's not the same dude he was 2 years ago.
No, he's not. And just this doesn't really apply, I don't think, to any of these pitchers today. But keep this in mind. We are in the dog days here of August where bullpen's a little worn down. Starting pitcher's a little worn down. I made this point, I think it was with DeGrom the other day, where when's the last time Jacob DeGrom has completed a full season? You're at the point of the year where you come to spring training in February, you're throwing every day, you're pitching every fifth day. If you're a starter, this is the time of year. Keep an eye on recent trends, recent current form here with these pitchers, because a lot of dead arms, tired arms, this is the time of year where these pitchers and these bullpens too can start to get worn down in terms of their arms.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. And like I would submit, right, you mentioned Kodai Senga. Last few starts, the command's been wearing, and he's missed time due to injury. Only had 5 2/3 back last year in terms of his innings pitched. 2023 was the last time he surpassed 100 innings, and that was 166. So we'll see if that continued for him as well. One last baseball question. As we stand now, we are getting closer, of course, to the home stretch. Any futures you want to jump on now in Major League Baseball? Did you add anything recently?
A week or so ago, I added Padres 11-1 to win the National League after all of those acquisitions, even though I think probably from a big picture standpoint, Preller gets a lot of credit. Preller goes for it, all that stuff. He's aggressive. You could make the case he's borderline reckless with all the talent he gives away. But we don't care about that as futures bettors. We just care about this year. And I think they're very live. Of course, that number's moved, but I did give it out last week at 11-1. And I just took a shot. Not that I think it's going to get home, but I think it's one of those years where you take a shot. I did take a shot at Padres Rangers. I think you can still get it. Exact World Series, 160, 170, 180-1. I think I got it at 203-1. To me, any of the 12 teams getting in, making the World Series would not surprise me, except maybe the Yankees of all teams. But I just think it's super wide open. It's why we saw such an active deadline. There's good teams, but there's no great teams.
Texas, good pitching, good defense. The offense isn't great, but they're going to be dangerous, I think, no matter who they face. All right, Will's going to stick around when we come back, talk a little football. We've got some futures to look at as the regular season's around the corner. Preseason underway. I want to hit Will with the topic we've been discussing about this preseason. Is this information really that valuable? We learned yesterday it wasn't. We got three games today, two of which say maybe there's another opportunity to fade that info.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
First hour with Will Hill here on the Progressive Guest Line, talking a little NFL preseason, big picture as well. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. So we opened the show discussing this yesterday. All three of the dogs cover the line moves. We'll call them incorrect. And all really based on information for the most part. The Bengals obviously told us they were going to play their starters to start the game. The Colts said that they were going to play their guys, at least the starting quarterbacks, or of course starting, I'll put in air quotes, quarterbacks, for the first half against Baltimore. We know how that went. And then the market kind of overreacted to what Pete Carroll had to say about everybody's live. Geno yes. Smith played one drive, and that was it. But the whole conversation was, well, hey, you know, sometimes you're moving these full game lines based on a little bit of information when the reality is these guys really aren't going to play into the second half. Maybe there is some value in pushing back on these closing numbers or near closing numbers. And if you did, you're sitting on a nice undefeated run to start the NFL preseason.
Yep, you said it well. You said a lot of the things I was saying last night with Tim Murray, and especially if you're getting the best of the number, which you really should. And I'll give a plug to something I have no affiliation with, the Fantasy Life app. That's I think Matthew Berry runs it. That's something you download it. You get the alerts right to your phone. You don't have to be on Twitter. You don't have to be doing anything. You get a message that pops up that says Mahomes and the starters are playing. Jaden Daniels isn't playing. Those kind of things where you go and bet it. You can get ahead of the number. So you should be getting ahead of the number. And I would suggest, and I know history doesn't suggest this, but I would suggest if you got Bengals at a pick 'em and it goes to six and a half, to buy back on some plus 6.5, even maybe match the bet, or even go above and beyond on the plus 6.5 and just say, you know what, I'm going to put my feet up and I'll root for a middle, because I do think enough of them will get home to, you know, to make it profitable. I understand that in the past, these line moves have been successful. And even if you chase the number, you're doing okay. But I don't know. I just feel like they move now more than ever, where in the past, these lines would move by a point, a couple points. There's such a copycat mentality where people see this team's playing its starters, then a couple of influencers, and there's people that move the market and they share plays that, you know, touts and things like that, that have an influence over the market. And people say, all right, he's betting Bengals minus two, so I'm going to lay 2, 3, 4. And okay, he's laying two. He didn't say lay 4 and 5. So I agree. It's too much. I agree. You're talking about, especially in this first game here, this first week, one series, two series. And look, Burrow went right down the field a couple times, couple touchdowns, but that didn't matter. Or you could have a scenario where they get the ball twice and they go 3 and out, or they kick a field goal. Then it's all right. You laid 6.5, 7 points just because the starters played and gave you a field goal. And maybe the starters come out there and they have a vanilla game plan and they're just trying to get in rhythm and just trying to get reps. So I agree. I think that, look, you could beat this stuff. I'm all for betting preseason, but don't chase the numbers would be my advice, even though history has suggested that if you chase the numbers, you're going to do okay. So, again, we got to keep in mind this is a small sample. It's only 2 or 3 games, but the logic holds up. And you hit on something, too, with Carroll. Adam Hill came on maybe an hour before that game and gave out something that, man, that's about as good as anything anyone gave out all week on VSiN. I would say that was a strong tip, because I didn't know this, that he was at the press conference with Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll said, everyone's live. And then one of the other beat writers tweeted out, Pete Carroll said all the starters are playing, and that's not what he said. And everyone ran with it. The market ran with it. So I thought that was fascinating how that got completely overblown and exaggerated.
Let the record show that Adam Hill said that on this show first 2 days ago. All right, let the record show it. And then we replay the clip.
The record's not important.
Come on now. No, but it is. And that's actually why I came back with Seattle plus 5.5, because I was like, this is getting a little extreme. And then sure enough, you were that close to getting that middle if you were there. Setting up that one. All right, with that, setting the table for today, do you have anything in any of the three games? Carolina's up to a 6-point favorite, total of 33. Detroit's a 3.5-point favorite, total of 33. And New England's a 6.5-point favorite, total of 36.5. I think of these three, the candidate, the two big favorites, I think are in danger of doing the same thing as we did yesterday, which is the market overreacting to some information that was pretty vague. For example, Dave Canales and the Panthers, Will, he said that he's going to play his guys, and then it comes out they're playing 8 to 12 snaps, and yet here they are as a 6-point favorite.
That's probably too many points. I'd probably, if anything, look towards an under there too, just because of the Cleveland quarterback situation. And look, you've already got a couple of your guys banged up. Do you want to get more quarterbacks hurt? Don't you come out there at least in the back of your head, say maybe let's keep these guys healthy. Let's be a little conservative. Let's run the ball. Let's get the ball out of his hands. It sounds like Sanders is going to be in for a while and throw the ball a lot. I'm not sure. Do you have these in Vegas, player props? I'd actually look at some overs on Sanders. I know some of the books somewhere were hanging player props, which to me, look, I'm all for betting preseason. I bet it pretty seriously. I haven't gotten into the player prop preseason market yet, but hey, if you build it, they will come. I can understand these books hanging markets on it, even though I'm sure the limits are probably pretty small. So it'd be under nothing for me. It'd be dog or nothing for me in this one. And same thing with Washington. Are we still at 6.5? I'd probably look towards taking the 6.5, if anything, just because, again, I mean, you're talking about a game where the lines, the total's still in the 30s or so. That's not a lot of scoring expected. 6.5 is a lot of points to expect with a total of 34.5. And that's the other thing. Not only the dogs did very well yesterday, the overs, yep. Those games went over, and a couple of them very comfortably here. So for years, the preseason week one trend was play the unders. You get these ugly games, gross games. At least the past couple of years from what I remember, we've seen that correct a little bit, where you see a little more offense, a little more points being scored here on these preseason games early on.
Yep, 4-0-2 if you include the Hall of Fame game. So the first four games, dogs have all covered, and the Hall of Fame, and all the games have gone over the total. We'll see if that continues on as these preseason games roll on. All right, Will Hill with us. Of course, make sure you check out VSiN.com. We got everything up there, $9.99 special as well. Sign up for our subscription packages, get the guide, get everything in between. Got a lot of great stuff. And Will, of course, he contributed to everything and has contributed to the NFL and college guides. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up for now as little as $9.99. All right, the NFL. You know, actually, I'm going to switch gears really quickly since I brought this up because our college guide did come out today. You came on with Stormy and I the other week and said that you were jealous because you were still ramping up college football prep. Have you come across any hot takes or anything college football-wise that you want to get off your chest as we're getting closer to the season? It's 2 weeks away, Will.
I can't believe it. Yeah, tomorrow it's going to be the 2 weeks from tomorrow. That's incredible to really think about. It's exciting time of the year. As far as hot takes, I'm higher on Bama. I think they bounce back. I know that was a disaster last year. The loss to Vandy, the loss to Michigan. That's just, man, there's an old saying, you don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy. You want to be the guy that replaces the guy, or however it goes, that replaces the guy. You want to be the second one. You don't want to be the first guy after Belichick, the first guy after Saban. You want to be the second guy just because there's a little more pressure off of you. So tough spot for DeBoer, but I still think this guy's a tremendous coach with what he did at Washington. What he did, you know, beating some of these bigger coaches, Lanning, and a lot of these coaches that people love, he beat them and beat them as underdogs and was very impressive. I think he got a lot of talent. I think they'll be well coached. Maybe DeBoer settles in here in a second year. So I think Bama bounces back. The team I'm intrigued by, I haven't gotten to a bet there. I think Florida is stacked with that team, but it's the same thing as last year where you like the roster, the team is stacked, but the schedule is stacked too. So can that team overcome the schedule? So I know we had Kelly in Vegas on the other day. She suggested Florida in the 18-20-1 range to win the SEC. I can't quite get there. I think even reaching the SEC title game is probably a stretch. So I don't know how I'm going to attack it, but I'm excited. The guide is great. I can't emphasize enough how much value is in there for $9.99 and the value you get, especially in an era now where these teams change every year. The coaches change. It's such a quick, easy, fun way to get caught up on the season. So VSiN.com/subscribe. I'll give a little plug there to the guide. Can't recommend it enough.
Boom. Love it. All right. Last couple of minutes with you here. Let's talk from a future standpoint, National Football League. Actually, yeah. I'll ask you a question that I was asked yesterday, which I think is a good one. As we have gone through the offseason and training camp has now started, we've got a couple of preseason games under the belt. Is there a team that you have found your opinion changing on, whether it be for the better or the worse?
I don't think so. I think the Giants, even though I like they're under 5.5, I think week to week they might be a bet on team and they might be solid. Sure. I just don't think they can overcome that schedule. So that opinion hasn't really changed. I know I'm just talking with Matt Humans. He's really high on their draft and he thinks they could be underrated. He's convinced me a little bit that maybe week to week they're a bet on team, even if they are going to struggle to win, four or five games with that just gauntlet of a schedule. And I'll double down on Gannon and the Cardinals. I think Gannon, you could still get that 20-1 coach of the year. I think this Stafford back issue, look, he might be ready for week one, but can he sustain this health for a 17-game, 18-week season at his age? And if the Rams take a step back and Stafford is hurt and misses a month or six games, those wins got to go somewhere. I think Arizona is a team that's very live to take those wins and maybe win, I don't know, 10, 11 games. And if that's the case, if they can win the division, to me, Gannon is on the short list for coach of the year. And I'll just continue with the NFC West theme here. I'd be very careful as we're in fantasy football draft season. I'd be very careful with McCaffrey. I think 65 touches last year, no touchdowns, 4 yards per carry, all that wear and tear, all those injuries. We're at an age with running backs where you start to creep up. I know Henry has kind of defied logic, but you get to be your later 20s here as a running back, whatever age McCaffrey is, with all the injury history. I'm just not sure he's the guy 2-3 years ago that they traded for.
Will, always good to talk to you, buddy. Thank you very much. You got a couple of weekend shifts coming up?
Yeah, tonight with Tim Murray, 7 to 11 Eastern, and then I believe all weekend with Grace Remington, 4 to 7 Eastern. Appreciate you having me on, JVT. I would give you all the barbecue sauce, all the taco sauce you ever asked before.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I know you would. You wouldn't be a bootlicker protecting these massive corporations and their bottom line. Yes. Who cares about that? All right, Will, we appreciate it. We'll come back. We have the second hour. Mike Palm's going to join us in about 20 minutes from now. Also take a look at some of the big news, both literally and figuratively, coming out of the NFL from yesterday.